Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, here with our physician in residence, Dr. Meg Meeker, alongside our host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. Dad, to say that you've been on the air a long time might be a little bit of an understatement. And
36 years, right?
That's a long time. It's a good career on the radio. I've been thinking about why you were able to touch the lives of so many people. And I know there are a million reasons, but one of those is you're not just a counselor doling out advice, but you are a dad and a counselor, and you're counseling other dads and husbands and fathers, and you're guiding them. And I love working with you because I know that now we're a family helping counsel other people.
Yeah, you know, Ryan, that's interesting that you say that, because I've had many, many people through the years come up to me and say, my dad left when I was young, my parents divorced, my dad was abusive, this, that, and the other, and that you were a dad to me.
Yep.
You've been a father to me. And that's the highest honor in my whole life.
I hear that everywhere I go.
Writing books, all the other things are nothing compared with feeling like that I have touched somebody at that intimate point. So thank you for saying that. And we have some friends here today that I want to introduce to our listening audience. And I just love these folks, although I haven't known them very long. I'm speaking of Mitch and Windsor Yellen. They live here in Colorado Springs, and they own a castle. I mean, that's what it looks like. It overlooks the whole city of Colorado Springs, and it's called a Pinery. As a way of getting acquainted, Mitch, tell us what that is.
Well, the Pinery is an all-inclusive wedding and event center that serves people with banquets. We're a restaurant. We do weddings. We have a private club, and it's 5 blocks from downtown. So it's 5-star, 5-diamond, you know, a bright light on a hill, as Ronald Reagan said. We're right there on the hill, 360 views, so it's pretty spectacular.
It's amazing what you have done up there. That building's been there for a long time, but you've really made something of a castle out of it. And people are really taking note of what you have done, aren't they?
They really have. That's another story for another day.
Yeah.
But God guided us, and we feel like he has something great that he wants to do on that hill.
Windsor, you now have 5 grown children, don't you?
I do. Well, yeah. Do you consider a 17-year-old grown?
Sort of.
He's 6'3", so he's grown up.
Yeah.
But I have a daughter and 4 sons. And
And you all have been married how long?
28
Going on 29 years.
We'll be 29 years this coming August.
Well, Dr. Meg Meeker is with us by phone today. She has laryngitis. Can you speak, Meg?
Oh, I can always speak.
You sound better than you did yesterday, I'll tell you.
Thank you. Yes, and I've been on the road doing a lot of speaking, and this is what happens. But, you know, Jim, I'm so excited to have Mitch and Windsor here as well to, you know, just make themselves available to talk about their personal story with their son, Zach. And I think it's really going to touch a lot of listeners. I know as a mother with 4 grown children, it really touched me.
Well, the board of Family Talk came at your invitation to the Pinery, and that's really where we extended the friendship. And on that night, Windsor, you told about your own story in your family, and especially about your second son.
Second son, third child. You're exactly right. Exactly right. Zach.
And you had your hands full with him.
I did. Zachariah graduated from high school in 2010 and went to Colorado State University that fall as a freshman. And he came home from Colorado State in November at Thanksgiving break. And he asked Mitch and me to come sit down with him and talk. And he basically said that he had some bad news and that he felt he was failing all of his classes. And so we were pretty disappointed. And
you were paying the bills.
Yes, I was. And well, I wasn't. Mitch was paying them. But I was just really felt like I had maybe given him too much freedom and it was time to pull back the reins. And so I asked him if he went up the next day. I said, is it too late to withdraw so that the grades that are so terrible don't go on your permanent transcript? And he didn't know the answer to that, but he said that he would go the next day. So I said, Zachariah, I want you to go to the registrar's office and withdraw, get all of your things out of your dorm, and turn in the keys and come back to Colorado Springs to the house. And he did that. And so this was right at maybe a day or two before Thanksgiving.
Now, he had not been a rebellious kid.
For us, he'd been pretty easy. He lettered in two varsity sports. He was the kicker for the football team. He was the goalie for the soccer team. He had decent grades. Cheyenne Mountain is a tough high school, and he did just fine. He's a sweet-natured person, naturally. He's helpful. His middle name is Benjamin, and in Hebrew that means right-hand man, and that really does describe Zach. He really, if you can't find the record button or don't know how to do something, he usually generally knows how to do it. And so this was a surprise.
It was a surprise when his personality changed pretty radically. When he came home, he was a different kid. Is that right, Mitch?
It was. We weren't fully aware at that time that he was doing drugs, but we just knew there was a darkness that it's almost like a light switch. What's it like? I hear from others, you know, where did my son go?
And he was drinking and smoking.
He was drinking, smoking, and other things.
And running around with a crowd that would...
He was running around with the wrong people.
Yeah.
And nothing we really could do.
So he came home, and basically right after Thanksgiving Day, he would not come home at night. He would not return my calls to his cell phone. He just was very rebellious. And I was up through the night in our closet and just praying and asking God for wisdom and crying a lot. And literally on my knees just saying, Lord, I'm scared for him. I'm not sure how to proceed. What would you have me do? I just need more wisdom than I have. Mitch and I were getting up every morning and praying together, but I was deeply troubled out of any kind of restful sleep. So after a couple of nights of not returning calls and wandering in and out, I basically said, Zachariah, you cannot live here if you are going to rebel against the rules of our house. I said, it's one thing to rebel, but when it's right up in my face, I said, I would rather pray for you and put you in God's hands than have it right under my nose where it's terrifying to me.
Yeah, he had two younger siblings that were watching this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Abraham and Eli were watching. Yeah. And it was tough, really tough. So the next day, he didn't come home for his curfew. And he showed up the next afternoon, and I was in his bedroom, and I'd put a duffel bag, and I was furious and troubled all at once. I just wanted to scream at him, but I basically was able to control my temper and just said, you have to go.
You were hurt too, weren't you?
Yes, really hurt. And I took it personally.
Yeah.
But I remember one of the things that I learned from you is not to threaten something that I wouldn't do. And so I wasn't going to say, if you do this again, I'll kill you, because obviously I wouldn't do that. But I did say, I will ask you to leave. So I was in his bedroom, and I just started pulling things out of his drawer and setting it on the floor. And I said, anything you leave behind, I'm going to give away and turn your room into a guest room. I was that mad. And he said, you'll never do that. And I said, Zachariah, you need to go. So I took his cell phone and shut it off. I took the keys to his car and basically walked him to the front door and shut the door behind him. And then I kind of stood around the corner looking out the front window, and he walked to the end of the driveway and waited. And I just started crying and praying, and I watched a friend pull up and drive him away. Mm-hmm. And I called.
Was that the most difficult moment of your life?
It was the second most. The first was Christmas Day. When he came back.
Which came later.
A month later.
I think he came back on Christmas Eve when we had dinner at that restaurant, Marigold's, and we had a wonderful dinner together, and we gave him a curfew that night, and he never came back home that night.
So the next day was Christmas Day, and I was making dinner and very sad, and it was just a horrible feeling hanging over all of us. The six of us all missed him, and we were sad and didn't know what was going on because he didn't have his phone and he didn't have his car, and the doorbell rang. And I went to the door, and the rest of my family was over my right shoulder, and there was Zach. And I said, "Zachariah, are you ready to obey the rules of the house?" And he said, "No, I just came to see what you got me for Christmas."
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, "Nothing. God bless you." And I shut the door. Oh, and that was the hardest thing I have ever had to do. I felt like I was going to be sick.
To send your precious son, whom you brought into the world and have tried to bring up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and thought he was understanding that and accepting it, and you come to, of all times, Christmas Eve, and your son is at the door just to find out what he can get.
Right.
And says, in fact, he is not going to follow your leadership.
Right.
He's going to continue, I suppose, to use drugs and to, do all the things that he was doing, drinking a lot.
Right. He said he was smoking and drinking and taking pills. And I don't know what that included, but he just was not the same person. So Mitch went outside, and I think Zach came in for a few minutes to get a ride from his dad, and Mitch drove him somewhere. My daughter and my other boys looked at me and they said, "You are so mean. It's Christmas. Whoa. You are mean. And I ran up to my bedroom and I just cried like I just can't even remember crying. And I said, "Lord, I just need your help. I just need help." And so I washed my face, and of course I'm all swollen, and I come downstairs, and it was literally the worst Christmas dinner in the history of the world. I'm just sniffling and tear-stained, and all my kids, and Mitch is so sad, and we're just sitting there, and nobody felt like eating. It was just awful. Mm-hmm.
Mitch, you got to jump in here now. You saw all this going on. Mm-hmm. Were you also saying you're the meanest woman in the world?
No. I think my children would tell you that when it came to spanking time, they always said, "Dad, do you spank us?" You don't spank as hard as Mom. And that probably was to do with my own upbringing. But I knew she was right. But I was probably a parent that just didn't have the courage to do it to that extent. But I didn't want to just see him leave the door. So I went out and I said, "Where can I drop you off?" At least I could. So he just let me drop him off some random neighborhood. And I just told him I love him and I'll be praying for you after I dropped him off. And just had to trust God with him at that point.
Boy, I tell you what, I can feel the pain of mm-hmm. those experiences today. Yeah, we now see the end of the story, but it was not clear where this was going.
Right.
You didn't know if you'd ever see your son again.
I did not, and I knew that his behaviors were dangerous. Zach was the little guy when you gave him the Superman jammies or the Batman jammies, would jump off the back of the sofa, arms outstretched onto the hardwood floor, and knock himself out because he did think he could fly. I mean, he just was a daredevil and a great little athlete, and he took chances, yeah. And I just knew that he would, and that scared me too.
Windsor, I'm trying to remember the story as you told it to our board. Didn't you go in the closet?
That's where I went on Christmas Day after he left. I went upstairs in the closet and prayed and cried. And then we had Christmas dinner, and the week kind of progressed. And I kept getting up every morning with Mitch and asking God for direction. And we were praying and we fasted for Zach together. And we just believed that God had a plan for him, that he had his hand on him, that he wouldn't leave him, and that we just had to hang in there. And after New Year's, in the afternoon, once again, the doorbell rang. And I don't know that I told you that I actually did change the locks on the house so
did
that
you?
He couldn't sneak in and help himself
to. I want to tell you, you've got guts. I'm not kidding. You did exactly the right thing, but it had to have torn your heart clear out.
It did. So he came to the door, and he was very somber. And he said, "Mom, I will do whatever you ask. May I please come back to the house?" And I said, "Yes, you can come in as long as you obey the rules." That was January. And from January to August, he worked for the Pinery Catering. He drove a van. He was up sometimes at 4:35 in the morning going to get food and putting on a uniform and delivering food. He sometimes fell asleep sitting straight up on our sofa when he would come in at night, exhausted. It was heavy lifting and hard work. Catering is not for the faint of heart. It's heavy equipment and a lot of it, and it's precise. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people to please in that.
Well, was he playing by the rules at that time?
It's interesting because we called him over Skype. He's in Spain right now with Colorado State and a little semester abroad.
And he has given you permission to talk about this.
Yes, we asked his permission and said, "Is there anything that we shouldn't say?" He said, "No, Mom, whatever you say will be fine with me." And he said that he was still using drugs and drinking, but he did it to where he could function. He said he didn't go overboard and he knew the curfew. And so he said that even though you didn't realize that I was still using and drinking, I was, but I just came home when you told me, and I never missed a day of work. So he was functioning, but he was still using. And I actually didn't know it until he told us the other day what was going on there. There were some things I didn't really know. So in the middle of August, about the second week of August, well, to back up a little tiny bit, while he was still working and asking, you know, "What do I have to do to go back to college so that you'll pay for it and trust me again?" I wasn't really sure what the answer to that was. So I was up, it was 2:00 in the morning one night, and I'm not sure what month, and I was downstairs in our family room and I couldn't sleep. And I was sitting at our desktop computer and I said, "Lord, would you just send me an email? Could you just make it so plain? I'm just a broken human being, and I want so much to do the right thing, and I just don't know what the right thing is, and I just want your help." So I went to the Google search bar, and I typed in something absurd, and I'm going to make this up because I can't remember, like, "Help for rebellious children who won't listen to their parents."
Yes.
And right across the screen, and I kid you not, NOLS. Knowles. Oh, and it's the National Outdoor Leadership School. And I sound like I work
doing a plug.
Yeah.
And you can do several different trips in places all over the world for college credit or not. I think you could even be 15 years old and do a trip. And they're basically for people who want to learn about the outdoors, but they're also trips who take kids who are struggling and take them out of their environment, away from friendships that can be destructive, and put them in the wilderness. And this one was in the Rocky Mountains, beginning in Lander, Wyoming, in September, mm-hmm. for 16 college credits through very difficult terrain into the first part of December, ending like maybe it started September 4th and ended December 9th. And he'd be in the Rocky Mountains with 13 of his closest friends, mm-hmm. people he didn't know, and leaders, and a 55-pound backpack. No drugs, no cigarettes, no alcohol, no internet, no phone, just Zach in the wilderness. So I basically told him, I said, "Zach, if you will complete and finish well, and you won't drop out, mm-hmm. and you'll get the credits, Dad and I will trust you with another semester at CSU." So he agreed that he would do it. So this whole several months that he's working for the Pinery, and he's supposed to have quit smoking. The packet they send you is, you know, you should be running, you should be lifting weights, you should not, you know, you should be getting in shape, buy your boots early, wear them often. So Zachariah, I think, went to REI the week before he left and got his boots. He never ran once. He didn't quit smoking until he put the cigarette out before he went through the doors to meet his leader. he didn't really follow. But needless to say, 2 weeks before he was to leave, he didn't come home one night. And he'd been doing so well. And Mitch and I woke up to pray at 6:00, and he wasn't in his bedroom. And so he had a friend down the road, and we drove to his friend's house, and his car was parked in front. And we just stretched our hands out towards the house and prayed for him. And Mitch went to some appointments, and he was moving offices. And so I went to meet his staff in a moving company at a storage unit to see if I could help sort things out.
And I got a call about 3:30 in the afternoon from Zach saying, "Dad, I think I need to go to the emergency room." And I said, what's going on? She started describing to me, and it didn't sound all that bad. And I was like, well, just call Mom, honey. I'm in a meeting, and if it was an emergency, I'd leave. So basically, he called you.
And so I said, Zachy, do you need stitches? And he said, well, I was on my longboard last night on Cresta Road, and he said, I was crouching down, and I hit a pothole. And he said, I think I need some stitches in my forearm. And I said, okay, honey, well— I said, how many stitches? And he said, well, I don't know. He said, I wrapped, it was either a T-shirt or a towel around it, and it stuck to it. And if I pull it off, it's going to really hurt. Mm-hmm. So I got home, and he had basically said what he had been doing was he was in a crouched position on a longboard. He had one leg up and
Ryan,
one knee down.
Ryan, is that a big skateboard?
It is yeah. One?
And
going about 35 miles an hour, by the way.
And it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and he was loaded, and the front right part of it hit the pothole, and he put out his right elbow, and it took all of the force of his fall. And it was the most horrendous wound. I put his elbow forearm in the sink and soaked it, and he was sitting on a stool, and he wouldn't even look at it. He said, Mom, it's making me sick. And I said, I just peeked as much as I needed to peek, but I could see his bone and his tendons, and it was really ugly. And I said, okay, buddy, we're going to Memorial Hospital. And so I put him in the car and just started praying, and we got to the hospital, and we waited for a while, and it was a long wait. And he went into one of the triage rooms, and the surgeon or emergency room doc came in and just started scrubbing all the road. It was just awful out of it. And
rocks and dirt and everything.
And tar. It just hideous. And I was really, it was a miracle, because that kind of thing would just normally have made me sick, but it didn't. I just was so focused on him. And so the doctor was just making small talk with Zach and said, well, what are your plans? And he said, well, I'm leaving in 2 weeks to go to the National Outdoor Leadership School in Lander, Wyoming for 3 months in the wilderness. Flat out, the doctor said, oh, no, you're not. And Zach said, oh, yes, I am. And he said, do you want to lose your arm? He said, this is a really bad wound, and you need to let it heal, and you could lose your forearm if it gets infected. And he said, I need to go get some more suture, and I'll be back with you in a minute. And he left the room, and it was just Zachariah and me. And Zach is not a crybaby. He is a tough guy, and he looked at me, and he cursed under his breath, and one huge tear rolled down his cheek.
I hate to cut in on a cliffhanger like that, but we have run out of time for today. What a powerful program, and I am sure all of us will want to tune in tomorrow and hear more of the story. Tell your friends to listen to today's broadcast and then join us again next time. You've been listening to part one of a three-part program we've titled Tough Love for Kids here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, along with our physician in residence, Dr. Meg Meeker. And Dr. Meeker, honestly, I cannot imagine anything more difficult than having to ask your child to leave your own home.
Oh boy, Ryan, I can't either. And as a mother of a son around the same age as Zachary, I just can't imagine what that would be like. I don't know that I would have the strength to do what the Yellens did, or the perseverance to stick with that decision once it had been made. But they did. And in today's program, we got a glimpse of where this story's going.
We did. And having been there when we recorded the program, I know that there is so much left of this story that people are not going to want to miss part two or part three. But before we go, I did want to mention that if you're listening to us today and would like a little bit of help on parenting your kids, we have so many resources to offer. Not only is our website full of articles on parenting, but we have a lot of books available as well. And I know for me, one of the most difficult parts of parenting is knowing when and how to discipline. And if that's you, my dad has written two fantastic books on parenting that apply directly to today's program. They are Dare to Discipline and Parenting Isn't for Cowards. And you can get both of those books by visiting our website, drjamesdobson.org, or by calling us at 877-732-6825.
You know, Ryan, those are two of my very favorite parenting books, and they're timeless. So I really encourage every listener to go out and get a copy of each. And be sure to join us again next time when we will hear part two of Tough Love for Kids right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.